Good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 56. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. And yes, winter is here, at least to some degree. We've actually had a pretty chilly snap over the last few days since I recorded the last show. And yesterday, we had quite a few snow flurries. It didn't stick, but the temperature has been steadily dropping. And I noticed today when I went out and about that there was ice on the ground. So there is snow on the way, probably, and it's only a matter of time before it actually does stick. But that's life in the big city, and that's winter for you. Here we are in the first week of December, and this is the first real cold that we've had. So, here we go. And now we can look forward to lots of snow and ice and slush and, being cold. Not that I mind that. I've never really minded winter, and I've talked about that on the show before, that I really prefer, the transitional seasons like spring and fall, but it really isn't that bad, because there's always options. Now, I'm lucky because I live in an apartment building and I don't have to shovel the snow, and that helps a lot. But I do have problems occasionally getting out my back door because my back door opens onto an alleyway, and when they plow the snow, it sometimes piles up and blocks the door, and it takes some effort to actually get in and out that door. But if I go the front way, it actually is longer to get to the train. Now, at the moment, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have a job to go to, so that may make it easier. In the last few days, I've had more internet connectivity issues. That's always fun. And I complained about it for half a show a few weeks ago back in October because RCN is actually providing very poor quality of service. And that's still going on, unfortunately. And I have a guy coming around on Monday, and hopefully that they'll actually resolve something. My internet kind of cuts in and out, and it has been running slow for some time. When I say some time, I mean probably the last 6 months. So we're going to try to get that resolved. I made a kind of a nasty phone call to RCN headquarters this morning, and hopefully they'll have somebody out here this weekend or Monday to resolve these issues once and for all. And I'm, they're going to do a full workup of the system, I hope, and figure out what the hell the problem is. One thing that we were able to determine last time was that the problem is not here, and it's not a problem with my computer, the modem, or the cable. But I'm not so sure that it's not the cable, and I'm going to actually kind of insist that they either replace it or, check it out thoroughly, because it really is been a problem. And anything that delays me getting shows up, and anything that delays me being able to game, and anything that, watch streaming media or whatever, these are problems, because I am not able to listen to people's podcasts. I'm not, able to do much of anything. So I'm sitting here right now and I'm recording the show, and I have no internet access. So it's very, very frustrating. So I've had a few comments from Scott over at Scott Podcast. And, he often sends me audio comments, and I play them on the show most of the time. But he had a couple that he sent me actually now about 3 weeks ago. So they've been kind of sitting here for a while. And I'm not going to play them in their entirety, but I might excerpt them in the course of this conversation. But interesting question that he is sort of asking in both of these clips that I have sitting here. Kind of the lowdown is, do I consider him a rationalist? And I guess what I need to do is to kind of explain what I think a rationalist is and what my definition of a rationalist is. And maybe that'll make things clearer for Scott and perhaps for some of you others as well, because, after all, in my show description, it says that I talk about my life and issues that affect us all from a rationalist perspective. Now, the first point that I want to make is that rationalism and atheism are not the same thing. There's a distinct difference between the two. Now, I will say that most rationalists are atheist or agnostic, but not all atheists are rationalists. And that being the case, I think that we've probably all met certain types of people who, you know, they are essentially atheist or agnostic, but they believe in irrational things, things like, you know, UFOs, or you know, they're anti-vaccination, or they're, you know, they believe in Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster, the Tooth Fairy, or whatever. And so being an atheist doesn't make one a rationalist. Now, as it happens, I am both an atheist and a rationalist. And what that means is that I look at the world in the sense of reality. And I would not attribute things that I don't understand to a supernatural agency, or to a conspiracy theory. You know, people like to make sense out of things that they don't understand. That's the nature of religion. That's the nature of faith. I mean, would you go right back down to it? Actually, a good example of that would be tarot. And if you guys remember, way, way back when I did my two-part episodes on tarot, I think that was about episode 20, and you can go back and listen to that. You know, tarot is all about putting things into context in your own mind, and somebody is feeding you the information that is printed on these cardboard cards, and your mind is making sense of what is being said and putting it into context in regards to your own life. Now, it would be irrational to think of the tarot as magical, but it's not necessarily irrational to understand that it's your mind that is doing the work here and not the person who's doing the reading. It's the person who is having their cards read who is making sense of it. So that's a good example of, you know, something, you know, making sense out of the sort of random data. When you talk about rationality, you're not necessarily talking about a lack of a belief in God. Now, I happen to have gone through that journey myself. I mean, I did believe in God. I was a devout Christian for a long time. And what got me out of that was the preponderance of evidence as I continued to study, as I continued to read, as I continued to explore knowledge and explore the universe and explore science and all of that. It soon became very obvious that placing one's faith in the supernatural isn't helpful. It doesn't explain anything, and in fact, it's a default to ignorance. It's, you know, you say, well, where did life come from? Where did the world come from? Why are we here? Now, you're delving off into areas not just of science here, but also philosophy. In very real terms, you're actually kind of trying to figure out what the nature of faith is. So let's just take it as an example, the origin of life, because that's something that a lot of people don't understand. Now, the origin of life is not something that science can really explain. We can rule out certain possibilities, you know, based on the evidence, based on, you know, the, you know, DNA, and based on, you know, cosmology and astronomy and all sorts of hard sciences. But nobody can really explain, and no honest scientist is ever going to claim to be able to explain the origins of the universe. We just don't know. Now, what the difference is between a rationalist and somebody who is not a rationalist, and I sometimes refer to them as supernaturalists, is that they are willing to say, well, I don't know, therefore it was a god. Or I don't know, therefore I'm going to guess that it was a god, or, you know, so forth. Doesn't mean that they necessarily adhere to that. Now, Scott asked me in one of his comments, do I consider him a rationalist? And I guess the answer, Scott, to that is mostly yes. And certainly in regards to most everything besides this God idea, I would say, yeah, you hold a lot of rationalist positions, but you have at the base of your worldview this belief in an irrational God. And I would attribute that, you know, in a very general sense, to being uncomfortable not knowing all of the answers. But science never claims to have all the answers. And, you know, and you talked about in the second clip, you talked a lot about the preponderance of evidence. You talked a lot about the likelihood of things, and you're talking about things being very, very unlikely. And even kind of stuck religion into that category. So I think you know really where you stand in regards to this. And in the clip, you're saying that you think you have an emotional need to believe. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from. And I think you understand that intellectually. So, you know, certainly I see a lot of rationality in the positions that you take, in the opinions that you have, in the personal files that I'm not, of course, playing on the show. And so, yes, I think for the most part, Scott is a rationalist. Now, there are a lot of people out there who are nowhere near that level of rationality, because they, you know, either they don't think about it, or they just want to deny things that kind of conflict with the supernaturalist worldview. Now, faith, and especially faith in a God, is at its very nature is irrational. Now, when I say irrational, I don't mean irrational in the sense of insane. You know, it's not quite the same thing. And I hope that I'm describing this well, because I don't always get it right when I try to describe it in words. And maybe writing things down, I should probably do that, because I actually am not writing off, you know, I'm not speaking from any notes or anything like that as I do the show. But, you know, here we have, so you give an example of, you know, how did life come into existence? Now, rationalists will say, well, we don't know. And here is what we know, how it didn't occur. And, you know, we'll say, well, we know it wasn't, you know, the biblical creation, at least in the literal sense of a biblical creation. We know that the universe is over 6,000 years old. And we know this because of, you know, background radiation. We know because of the, you know, Doppler shift and you know, hundreds of thousands of other ways. I mean, it's something that is so easy to disprove literalist biblical creation. It's a very, very easy thing to disprove. And you don't need an advanced science degree to disprove it. Now, you come to the idea of old world creationists, or old universe creationists. Now, those are people who are willing to accept the estimates that science offers. And currently, I think they've kind of pushed this back to about 13 billion years old for the age of the universe. Now, we don't know that for sure. We have a lot of evidence that kind of pushes that way, but we don't know absolutely. Now, and one of the questions that Scott had for me was, you know, does being a rationalist mean that you don't believe in anything that has not been absolutely proven? And no, that's not what rationalism means. And that's because there's a lot of things in the universe that have not been absolutely proven. We have science's best estimations. We have, you know, theories that have been tested and retested and retested again. And, you know, it's not just one guy deciding in a room, you know, this is how evolution works. This is how gravity works. This is how, you know, the world was, you know, came into being and so forth. Now, I think it's a very key difference between faith and rationality is that a rationalist is willing to have their assumptions challenged. And even disproven. Now, there could be evidence discovered tomorrow that a God exists. You know, is that a possibility? It's a possibility, but it is extremely unlikely, considering the preponderance of evidence that we have that there is nothing there. I think that you know, somebody else, I don't remember who it was, described it very well and said, well, if there is a God, we would know. You know, there would be a lot of evidence that there was. And but if somebody discovered tomorrow, some really definitive proof that a God existed, I think a lot of people, including myself, would say, okay, let's see what you got. Let's see what your evidence is. Let's test this. Let's figure out if this is falsifiable. And I think that there would be a lot of enthusiasm, about it. But the fact of the matter is, this hasn't happened. It's very unlikely to happen. Will it happen? Well, I doubt it. But if it does, I'm certainly open to being convinced. And that's the difference between somebody who is rationalist and somebody who is who's believing things on faith. Because somebody who is believing things on faith is not going to be open to that. And you can see it all the time in our society. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who believe in, let's just pull something out of a hat. 9/11, that's a good one. There's a lot of people out there who believe that George W. Bush planned and 9/11. It's a conspiracy theory, but and there's very, the evidence that they show is pretty silly and isn't really evidence. But, they believe it. And they are not willing to be convinced. Anytime you hear somebody use the term, well, you're never going to convince me of that, you're facing faith. I mean, you might as well just stop talking to them, because if they're really never going to be convinced of it, it's because they are not, that they are in denial, that they are definitely not even willing to consider that they're being, disproven. That they're never even willing to consider the fact that they're wrong. And you have a lot of that in the anti-vaccination thing. You have a lot of that in the, people who are skeptical of global warming. I'm seeing a lot of that right now in this discussion of ClimateGate. You have the, the people are saying, okay, well, yeah, let's re-examine all of the evidence of, because of these emails. I don't think they're going to find anything that's all that, all that damning. I think, because the data is still there. The data can still be examined by any scientist. And, what conclusions they're going to come to, if what happens if they re-examine all the evidence for global warming and find that the original scientists were right. Somehow, I don't think that the global warming deniers are going to accept it. That's a matter of faith. The law of gravity has not been absolutely proven. Because actually, the law of gravity is the theory of the law of gravity. It's, just like evolution, it's both a fact and a theory. And so, we can observe things happening, and where we come into the whole theory part is in the mechanism of gravity or the mechanism of evolution. For example, evolution, we know that evolution has occurred. We have absolute proof of that, and we can observe it in nature. But the mechanism of evolution, which the current assumption and what seems to be the best supported explanation is natural selection. We have this scientific construct, and we can do experimentation and testing and all that within that framework. And so you can look at it as there's a lot of unanswered questions. Now, you're talking about, like I said, about things that are more likely than not. And you bring up the lottery, Powerball, and you talk about horse racing and the odds of horse racing. That the odds are against you, but it's still possible to win. Even though something is very unlikely, doesn't mean that it won't happen. An example you give, of course, people win the lottery every day. The problem with that argument, as I see it, is that when you're talking about the odds of something, you have to kind of tacitly admit that the irrational is a possibility. And you know, even though it's highly, highly, highly unlikely, that is a possibility. Now, in the sense of, in general terms, yes, I would definitely agree with you that there are certain things that are highly, highly, highly unlikely. And if you're playing the odds, it's really better to play, the odds if you're gonna win and not lose. But there are certain things that we know that cannot be true. And you can determine that they cannot be true through thinking it through. Having that curiosity and that rationality and the knowledge and going out and reading about the whatever the topic is. And, so we can say without any doubt at all that the Bible is not literally true. Not the least of which is the fact that the Bible's not even consistent with itself. There's not even the possibility of the universe being 6,000 years old. Because there's just so much evidence to deny that it's really indisputable. And when you and if you do dispute it, that is a very irrational position to take. Because it's really sort of a sense of denial. And I know that not every religious person is in denial, but that's because they have not actually seen the evidence. In a lot of cases, it's willful ignorance, because they don't want to see the evidence. They don't want to be educated about that. Now, I don't see that people like Scott are in that category, because Scott is, by his own description and by his, and I can see it in what he talks about on his show, and what he talks about in private, and what he has said in comments to this show, is that he's not one of these people who's going to shy away from learning about things. And that is, who the show is for, I think. Maybe it's the irrationalists who really need to be listening to the show. the ones who do deny the facts, because it's going to give them a better idea of where I'm coming from. And of course, I have to point out, and when I'm talking about being irrationalist and so forth, I'm not doing this to target people. I'm really not. And I talk about things like psychics, and I talk about the scam artists, the mediums, and so forth, who do this sort of puppet show with people's dead relatives. I find that abominable. I find that absolutely despicable. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who have an emotional need to believe in that stuff. But it's better to let that go. It's better to let irrationality go and think about things and get educated about things. The popular media is not going to do it for you. I hate to tell you that. Even watching the Discovery Channel and the History Channel all day long, as useful as I think some of those things are, popular media is not going to help. You got to actually crack a book. There's a lot of people out there who don't want to crack a book, or who only want to crack one book, the Bible, or the Quran. It really, is one of those things. And it's a source of frustration for those of us who really seek knowledge and really seek to understand the universe. There's a couple podcasts I want to recommend to people. And I may have actually recommended them already, but I'll go ahead and do it again. And one of them is called The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. I know that Scott listens to this one, among other people who I know. You can go there, and it's at www.theskepticsguide.org. That is a very, very good podcast. It is done by a group of people, and they actually have divergent opinions from each other sometimes, which I really like. They're skeptical even of each other, and I do. I do enjoy that podcast very much. I've just really started listening to it, and it was by recommendation of, I think it might have been Scott. And they do another podcast too, and it's a little bit of a shorter podcast that they do. Is called Skeptics 5x5 or something like that, which is their 5-minute podcasts on skeptical topics, and they have five people talking about a topic for 5 minutes. And I think 5 minutes is a little short, but anyway. And the other one that I listen to that I quite like is called Skeptoid. And that is another one. It's, you know, little short podcasts. And you can get there by going to skeptoid.com. And it's SKEPTOID.com. And the thing I really like about that is that you don't have to listen to the show. He reads off a script. The guy named Brian Dunning, and he's another person he's affiliated with the JREF, James Randi Educational Foundation. And he actually puts his transcripts online, and I quite often read his transcripts rather than listen to his show, because it takes less time for me to to do. Like his stuff a lot. He tends to be a little bit more opinionated, and yeah, because it's just one guy, he doesn't really have anything else to bounce off of. But yeah, he really talks a lot about pop phenomena. You know, he talks about the Montauk Monster, and he talks about the Philadelphia Experiment and detox and creationism, and really good. Yeah, there's a lot of good podcasts out there, and I know that another one I've recommended these before as well is there's two atheist podcasts that I listen to, and one of them is called The Atheist News. I think it's just atheistnews.com. And the other one is called Chariots of Iron. And I really like Chariots of Iron. And those are specifically atheist podcasts. So you're not going to get a lot of pop culture necessarily. But there's a lot of really interesting discussion taking place on those programs. So I would strongly encourage people to check them out. All right, so moving on. I have a comment from Doug here, Doug in Akeley, Iowa. Doug is a regular listener to the program. And Doug, actually, he posted a link on the Tom Harris USA community over on Facebook. And he actually posted a link to the Addams Family musical site. And you know, I've never actually posted links, and so thanks, Doug, for posting that. It'll give you kind of an idea of what that show is, and that's the official site that he posted the link to. So you can go there on Facebook, go to Tom Harris USA podcast community, and I post there the summaries of the show, every show, and so forth. Not a lot of action there. If people want to discuss things on there, feel free. All right, well, Doug had a comment on episode number 55. He says, great Addams Family review. Yeah, rented Ghost Rider one time and did not care for it. He's talking about Ghost Rider, the movie with Nicolas Cage. Watched most of the movie and fast forward. Yeah, I could definitely understand that. Bet Ghost Rider 2 will end up on the lame endless reruns on the Sci-Fi Network. Thank you, Doug, for your comment. Yeah, probably so. I'm kind of hoping that it's better than the first one. It was a silly movie. But it was interesting, though, because it wasn't as bad as I had feared. I was really afraid that it was going to be really, really cheesy. And there was a certain amount of cheese in it, make no mistake. But it was an interesting take on Johnny Blaze, the character, though very different from anything he appeared at in the comic. So, and of course, I'm familiar with the comic. I collected it back in the 70s and 80s, and even in the revival of the comic. The comic is much better than the movie, though, so check that out. Anyway, I am getting short on time here, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you to Scott and to Doug and to all the people who have contributed to the show. I really hope to continue hearing from y'all. The email address to participate is tom@tomharrisusa.com. So, from Chicago, Illinois, this is Tom Harris signing off. See you next time.